The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
Well, let's get into the Word a little while this morning. I'm here glad that God, when we got up this morning, He already had outside our tent some manna. Huh? Manna was every morning when the Israelites got up, think about this, outside the entire camp of Israel where there was 2 to 3 million Hebrews, outside their tents, when they got up in the morning, there was this white stuff on the ground. And when the dew, like of the morning, when they got up and the dew was on the ground, you know, when you get up in the morning, you look out or go out in the grass. The grass is kind of wet. When they would go outside their tent at the time of the dew in the morning, there'd be this white stuff on the ground. And they got up the first day that happened, they said, they all started saying, "What is this? What is it?" And they named it, and it became known as manna, which we learned is, well, that's breakfast. That's your daily substance right there. If you go outside your tent every morning and you gather the white stuff, gather it up. Now you can only get enough for one day for as many people as live in your tent. So if I've got four people in my tent, however much white stuff four people eat for that day, that's what I'd gather. And I'd bring it back in the tent, and we'd divide the white stuff up. I don't know about you. You know, sometimes I hear people saying, "Well, I can't, you know, my kid complains about coming to church." Huh? You think anybody complained about, is that, you mean this is what we're going to have again, that white stuff? Yeah, that's what we're going to have. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the word of God is like that white stuff. I don't know how exciting you think it is. I think it's cool. I'd have me a class every day with my family if I could, if I was gathering the white stuff. And I'd say, "Do you know what a miracle this white stuff is?" And the kids say, "Well, you don't even know what it is." Well, that's part of the miracle. Where did it come from? You know what's cool about it is, before we eat breakfast today, let's everybody in this tent raise their hands and say, "Lord, we thank you that before we got up today, you already came and visited us and you fixed us that which would sustain us, that which would carry us on and give us strength in our heart." Can I hear amen? And for every single day, except, you know, well, 6 days a week, because on the Sabbath you couldn't gather, and on the day before the Sabbath you would gather twice as much, and that's the only day that the manna wouldn't rot, the extra that you put aside for the Sabbath day. It's miraculous. It's glorious, right? And you can live by it. It's what sustains you. It's what we live by. It's what we eat. It's the word of God. It's the bread that comes down from heaven. Jesus said, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven." Those of you, people are searching for stuff today. They're hungry for stuff today. What they're looking for is some of our white stuff. You hear me? This is our white stuff. When I got up this morning, I'm glad that I didn't have to go scrounging around and searching and begging God to give me something to eat today. All I had to do was open my Bible this morning, and here's my white stuff is already fixed for me. It's already there. Huh? And every day that I live, I can eat the bread of life. I can take the scripture. Every scripture is a bite of white stuff. And we give God thanks. This is what we live by right here. We live by the Word of God. We feed upon the Word of God. We are strengthened by the Word of God. We are empowered by the Word of God. The Word of God will carry you through the darkest seasons of your life. The Word of God will be food for your soul and joy when you don't have any joy, when all hell's breaking loose. As long, you know, somebody ought to shout when somebody starts talking about how bad it is for our family. Somebody ought to shout, yeah, but we've got the white stuff. Woo! Hallelujah. Around the Christmas tree this year, you ought to sit down and say, boys and girls, man, we got the white stuff this morning, and read some scripture and put some food down inside the heart of your family for the glory of God. Man, looks like some of you need some white stuff the way your face is looking today. Huh? That white stuff got joy in it, man. You eat enough of that white stuff, man, it'll make you smile all over yourself. It'll make you laugh inappropriately at times, man. Somebody shout glory. Let's say thank God for the white stuff. That's the manna. That's what we're doing today. We're just gathering manna this morning. All right, you want to eat some? We shouldn't just look out the tent and talk about it. Let's eat some. All right. Let's start today in Genesis chapter 29. I started a little mini series a couple weeks ago, actually last Sunday, and then we picked it up on Thursday about prayer and the kind of prayer that God hears and that God loves. And then Genesis chapter 29. Now this I got to watch out, because I could fall into the pot of white stuff here and just really get caught. This is a great chapter, because this is the story of the creation of the nation of Israel. Okay? Now, Israel, the nation Israel, came from, really, the root of Israel goes back to who? It starts with Abraham, our father, the father of faith. Israel, more than a natural nation, Israel's a faith nation. That's what we are. Whoever believes God is a son of Abraham, we're part of the nation of spiritual Israel, aren't we? I believe that. I'm in the seed of Abraham because I'm a believer, not because there's no natural Jew in me, but there's a spiritual Jew in me, and I'm a covenant friend and partner with Abraham. He's part of my I'm a son of Abraham. I'm a faith man. I believe God. And Abraham had children, you know, and he had Isaac. And then he had Jacob. And Jacob, at one time, you know the story, his name was changed to Israel. When he overcame, we may read that a little bit later in another study, about when Jacob wrestled that angel, and the angel changed his name to Israel. And then, from then on, the family of Israel was formed, the nation, one person at a time. Well, the beginning of the nation of Israel, so Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob, you know, he tried to marry, he met a girl named Rachel. And she was so pretty, blew him away. Just blew him away, man. And he went to her dad and said, I want to marry your daughter. And he said, well, if you work 7 years for me, you can have my daughter. You know, if you're going to work 7 years for a girl, she better be pretty and kiss real good, man. Huh? 7 years. You kidding me? And not just kiss real good, kiss real good a lot. Huh? So he worked, you know, I said this last week, but he worked 7 years for that girl. You think she was hard to catch, man. He worked 7 years to get Rachel. And she was so beautiful, man. Well, he gets to the wedding, you know, and she's veiled and et cetera. And so they had the ceremony, got married. That night, went into the tent, did the wedding things. And he gets up in the morning and he looks over and, oh my God, that's not Rachel. That's her ugly sister. I've married the ugly sister. You ever feel like that? I married the ugly sister. No, you better not say you did, Jerry. You're exactly right. No. I meant like a spiritual example of something else. I didn't mean you. No, I know you. No, you didn't feel like that, but Jenny feels like she married the ugly brother every once in a while. Huh? Seriously. And he gets, can you imagine the shock? And he looks over and it's Leah, man, her sister. And she's not pretty like Rachel was. He goes to Laban. I mean, I'd be wanting to see the dad immediately. And I'd go, and he went to Laban, and Laban said, well, we don't, you know, well, it's really against our custom, you know, for the younger to get married first. So we switched them out, and you married Leah. Well, I really wanted Rachel. Well, you can have both of them. But you got to work another 7 years to get Rachel, too. I mean, Elizabeth, how pretty was Rachel? Because he did it. He worked 14 years to marry that girl. He marries them. Okay, so now he's got Rachel and Leah are his wives. That's a whole nother thing. We won't get into all that. That's just the truth. And his wives, they want to, you know there was some, didn't you think, like, there would be some competition? How do you think Leah felt? Leah knew, and Leah knew the whole thing. Leah knew that he really wanted her. But, you know, but there's one thing that started happening with Leah first. Leah could have babies quicker than Rachel. Rachel struggled to have babies. And so that's this chapter right here is Rachel and Leah. Well, this is really gets complicated, and their handmaidens get involved in it with Jacob. And so, but I want to point something out to you. In Genesis chapter 29, okay, let's look at verse 31. Well, no, verse 30. This is where a good start. And he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved Rachel more than Leah. Now, you know, that doesn't make for a happy house. And he served with him yet another 7 years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was, look at verse 31, she was hated or unloved. When the Lord saw Leah was unloved, watch what he did. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, and Leah conceived and bore a son. I hadn't preached this in 25 years. One night, and we used to do a thing called Harvest Hamilton. Me, Pastor Josh, and a lot of the Hamilton Christian Center, Princeton Pike. We, all our churches, we do this big thing every year under a tent up at Pastor Josh Willis's, called Harvest Hamilton. We just have church 7 nights, man, and just do a Holy Ghost meeting under a tent every night. And one night, it was my turn to preach, and the Lord spoke to me this. He said, you know, my answer to the sin problem was a son. And if you go back and look at Israel and the beginning of the nation of Israel, you know, the answer to the problem was the conception for a son. So a son was the answer in the Old Testament, and a son's going to be, is definitely the answer in the New Testament. Watch. And that's what I preached that night under that tent. I remember I had a fit, man. And Leah conceived, verse 32, and bare a son, and called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. So the answer to, for you know, Leah is trying to get him to love her instead of loving the pretty girl. And so to Leah said, I'm going to name this son I'm going to have, I'm going to name him Reuben, which means the Lord sees. Right? The Lord saw, watch, the Lord saw my affliction, verse 32. Because, right? So the Lord saw my affliction that I had being Leah, that I wasn't loved as much as my sister, and so he answered and he gave me a son. And so I'm going to name that son the Lord sees, Reuben. Now, if you go through this chapter, I'm going to do a series on this chapter here pretty soon. Because every son of Israel is another piece of the puzzle of an answer of the fullness of the glory of God answering our prayers and becoming everything we need him to be. First of all, just on son one, I know this, God sees my affliction. I'll tell you right now, God sees my affliction. And because God sees my affliction, he's going to do for me what he did for Leah. He's going to send her an answer, and it always comes through the son. It always comes, you know, it comes through a son. And so son one was called the Lord sees. You need to remember this. God sees everything you're going through. You've never gone through anything where the God said, oh, I didn't know about that. I'm telling you, God sees your affliction this morning. God sees how little your paycheck is. God saw that. God sees your situation. God sees how people are treating you if you're mistreated. God sees your situation, and God knows it very well. But, right? So God sees is one piece of it. But I don't want to talk about God sees. I want to talk about son two today. That's my real deal. So son one is Reuben, God sees. And this is how you got to see this. If God sees it, God takes care of it. That's what that means right there. Wow. That's big. If he sees it, it's done. I see it. All right. Look at son two. And she conceived again. And she bore a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he therefore has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, which means the Lord has heard. So if God sees it and hears it, he answers it. And in my series on prayer, I want to tell you today that God has given us Simeon. In other words, God has, when we cry to God, God hears us when we pray. Prayer is not an exercise in frustration or futility. He said, I cried to the Lord in my distress, and the Lord heard my cry. Come on. I'm telling you today that when we pray,
You got to know that God hears you when you pray. He certainly sees your problem, but I'm telling you, he hears you when you cry. And Leah said, God has heard me. He heard that I was hated of my sister, and undoubtedly that hurt Leah. And Leah was crying to God out of her brokenness and out of her hurt, and she wanted him to love her. And the sign that God was working, even though she was in a bad, tough situation, was that God gave her this son, and so she named him Simeon. And the fact that God gave me this son proves to me that God heard me. I'm telling you today, when you pray, you better know that God has heard everything you've prayed. You know, the night I got saved, this was my theological prayer. Help! Help me! Help me! I'm telling you that somehow that's the first time I learned that God hears you when you cry, because that night when I cried to the Lord outside that party in my drug-induced situation, God heard that prayer that was prayed in earnest sincerity. And when he heard it, he answered and he sent his help. And he gave me a brand new heart. Completely on the inside. I'm telling you today, God is your Simeon, and he has heard you, and he hears your cry today. Every prayer you've ever prayed has been heard by God. And just like when God sees it, it's taken care of. When he hears it, he does it too. And that's why I'm challenging people. I'm believing God that 2017, we're going to have a revival of people that believe God, that God still hears and answers prayer. That when we cry to the Lord, he hears our cry, and he'll do. New Testament says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you cry to me, if you call unto me, he said, call unto me and I'll answer you. We got on it Thursday night. It said, one time the Lord spoke through Isaiah and said, before you call, I will answer you. God has good spiritual ears today. He hears you. Isn't that powerful, that all we've got to do is talk to him and call upon him, and God will hear us and he will answer our prayers. Look at James chapter 5 real quick. Shout out loud, he always hears me. He always hears me. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, just knowing that to be true, knowing that there's a son named Simeon that God has heard, that helped me, man. He's actively involved and engaged in helping my life, man, because he hears me. James chapter 5. We looked at this last week, but let's look at it again. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Watch this, what it says here. The effectual or effective, fervent, huh? The effectual, fervent, passionate, earnest prayer of a righteous man avails much, accomplishes much, does a lot of good. It makes a difference. Why would it make a difference? Because we've got a God that hears. We've got a God that hears. And if God hears us when we pray, especially when we're asking according to his word or his will, we know that we have the petitions of him that we ask of him, man. Because Simeon's been given to us. God heard me, and so God answered me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions like we are. In other words, he wasn't a special man. He was an ordinary guy. That helps me. He was a prophet of God. He had a calling. But
But in terms of his relationship with God and God answering his prayers, God doesn't give prophets special things where he just answers their prayers above everybody else's prayers. He was a man that had to, he was going through stuff like we are. But he prayed earnestly. That's what he did. He prayed earnestly. In other words, he cried out so God would hear him. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years. I guess God did hear him. And he prayed again. Say he prayed again. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Watch it. And the earth brought forth her fruit. What do you do when you pray? Well, you're going to pray again. And the earth brought forth her fruit in the name of Jesus, because God always hears. Now, here's what I really want to get to. Just a quick story. 2 Kings chapter 20. I love this. I'm telling you, when you pray, you can change the whole world if you know that God hears you. God hears me. Little old me. Huh? Little old me. Little old Jim Crabb from Humboldt, Tennessee. Little old Jim Crabb. Heritage of his family were just poor farmers and people, just simple people from northern Mississippi. Nobody fancy in the family. Nobody, no big shots. I had one uncle that I know of. My mom's brother was a Christian. As far as I know, that's the only real, I mean, talking about a born again, on fire Christian. He's the only one I knew in my whole hair. So it's not like, you know, I get envious of these preachers. You know, this preacher was, this guy's some great preacher. Well, his dad was a great preacher, and his grandfather was this, and his great, you know, I got nothing. I got nothing. But I'll tell you what I do have. I got a God that hears me. I'll tell you what I do have. It's what I got on everybody else. I got a God that hears me when I call. I got a God. Help me. I got a God that hears me when I cry. I got a God that hears me when I call on him. The day I got saved, he heard me. Then weeks later, I heard about this thing called the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and I called on him. I said, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I see these other people speaking in tongues. I don't even understand what it is. I don't understand anything I know about it, but I want it. Lord, I'm calling on you. And I wouldn't let go of him. And I was like Elijah when he needed that rain. He prayed. When he prayed, it wouldn't rain. And I was like Elijah when he did want it to rain. And I kept bugging God. I said, I want this Holy Ghost thing. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. Lord, I get up in the morning saying, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I didn't know. I was like by myself. I'm figuring this out. But I read it in the Bible. Man, they showed me where the verse was. That if any son ask of him that is a father for a piece of bread, will he for a piece of bread give him a rock? No, he'll hear me what I cry, and he'll give me what I'm praying for. Hallelujah. And I kept crying out to God, and he gave me my Simeon. He heard me. He heard me. I felt like such a, you know, I couldn't depend on my education because I dropped out of school. I couldn't depend on my money because I didn't have any. But I'll tell you what I did. When I got saved, I called on him, and he heard me, and he saved me, gave me a brand new heart. I'm not anything like I used to be. I'm a brand new man. I had a brand new beginning. On the 28th day of July in 1973, God heard this poor man cried, and God delivered him and answered him. That's what I had. So I had my salvation. But I had that, and I had a scripture verse, and I called on him. I said, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. I want something supernatural to happen in my life. And I just got desperate. I kept bugging him. I'd get up in the morning. I'd talk to him about it. I talked to him about it. One time I got on my bicycle. I rode to Winton Woods. I got way up in the woods back there. I just let my bike fall. I was so hungry for the Holy Ghost. My bike fell over, and I just started marching in the woods back there. I didn't care how if anybody heard me or anything else. I said, Lord, I want to speak in tongues. I want your power. And there was something in me that knew that God heard me when I cried. And it didn't happen right then. But that finally, that weekend at church. Oh, man. I think I might have even added a little fasting to it that week. You know, when you get hungry enough and you're that. I was, you know, my fasting was added to it just because I was calling on God. I was earnestly praying. Lord, I thank you that you hear me, but I want you to know I'm hungry today. I want the Holy Ghost. And I remember that Sunday morning when the pastor gave the call for those that wanted to be filled with the Spirit. Something on the inside of me said, man, I know that God has heard me, and I know that God's going to give me what I've called upon him for. For God to hear me is for God to answer my prayer. And I went, they gave that call. I'm telling you, tears were coming down my face way before I hit the altar. And I threw my hands up, and the praying saints came and gathered round me, laid their hands on me, which I was glad they did. But it was almost unnecessary that day because God had already heard me. And it started pouring out of me like a river. I mean to tell you, I began to speak in other tongues. Then I thought, man, God has heard this poor man. Now I've got a brand new heart. Now I speak in a language that's only coming from heaven. My. And I mean, I remember being at that altar a couple years ago. That was at Tri-County Assembly of God. Pastor Rosenberg was the first little Holy Ghost church I ever went in. And one day, a couple of years ago, I was driving up Route 4, and I started thinking about that day when I got the Holy Ghost. And I pulled my car off the road, parked the car, went in. That was in not the new big old building. That was in the second, you know, the A-frame little building, and then the next building. It was in that building. I said, I went in. I didn't even care. I was going to take it. If they tried to keep me out with security, I was going to tie the janitor up and put him in the closet. I was going to go see. I wanted to go, Ryan. I wanted to go to the spot where I got the Holy Ghost. I went up to that place and just stood there. And I praised God. I said, right here, Lord, this is where you did that for me. And you know what was cool about it? It was awesome because all I had to do was ask him for it, and he did it. And he reminded me, I've heard every prayer you've ever prayed, son. And my will is to answer every prayer you pray that's prayed in faith. I'll answer them, and I'll do it for you. Aren't you glad God's got good ears? Woo! I feel that happy juice flowing, man. I love this chapter. You got your shouting clothes on? Here we go. Verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah. Now Hezekiah was the king. Hezekiah was a good king. He set in order a lot of different things in Israel. He tore down the bad stuff and he started the good stuff. He was a good king. But in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. You know, even good kings, good people, good men. What are you complaining about? What do you mean, why do you have any trouble? And in this world, you're going to have trouble, I told you. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Wait a minute, look at me. But you know what? Just because that's the truth, just because Hezekiah was sick unto death didn't mean that Hezekiah was going to die. You know why? Because we got a God that put Simeon in place. We got a God that, like Leah said, that I know he's heard me. I know he's heard me. I know he's heard me. I may have a sickness that's unto death. And maybe, you know, we're not denying the reality that Hezekiah was sick unto death. All I'm telling you is,
He was sick unto death, but I got a God that can hear. Whew! I got a God that hears me when I call. I got a God that doesn't go, well, now let's see, who are you? Who are your relatives? And what's your hair? He doesn't do that. He just hears from the earth when people in the earth call upon him in earnest sincerity. He hears us. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. You could write your story in there. In those days, Billy lost his job. In those days, Susie and John lost their house. In those days, whatever your problem is, in those days, this. But we're not going to leave it at that. You know why? Because Leah said, I know he's heard me. I'm telling you, Simeon's in the situation here, man. You got to factor Simeon in. And Simeon, wait, you know, double blessing, man. This is like ice cream with whipped cream on top of the ice cream. That's like that banana split you wish you had, huh? You know, banana split's just all in, man. You got health food bananas. Ice cream. I mean, you ought to just call it quits at that, man. But a banana split got whipped cream on the ice cream. Whew. How many were like me that could take a can of Ready Whip, shake it up real good, and forget about the ice cream or anything else, and just eat the Ready Whip? Man, that's it. I don't need the ice cream or the bananas or anything else. I just like the Ready Whip. But then you're not done yet with the whipped cream on the ice cream on the bananas. Then you got some chocolate sauce you just put on that thing. Then you got to put some nuts on it, and then a cherry on top of all that. And then you just say, if anybody says anything to you, say, my pastor said I'm eating healthy today. There's a banana in this thing. I need my potassium. That's banana talk, potassium. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. But we know something. We know we have a Reuben. God sees my problems. For him to see it is for God to answer it. But we also have, that's what I'm saying, there's Reuben, and then on top of Reuben is Simeon. We have a God that doesn't just see it. He hears me when I call. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said, thus saith the Lord. Now wait. Thus saith the Lord. That's a word from, this is not some third-rate prophet here. This is Isaiah. He comes and says, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and you're not going to live. That's a word from the prophet of God. You're dying, man. It's over, Hezekiah. Good job. You did really good, but you're going to die. Now, you know, most believers, if that happened, they just leave it right. Most believers I know anymore, we've lost this fighting spirit to live in the church. I'm looking for the fighting church. I'm going to start a spiritual MMA group. Huh? I mean, I grew up in the boxing age, but the MMA thing, you know, somebody said, how would you describe MMA? It just looks like a bunch of people knocking each other's brains out without any rules. That's what it is in prayer when we get a hold of the devil and I want to throw him in the ring with me and beat his brains out. I'm looking for some people to have a fighting spirit. You don't, people won't fight in prayer anymore. They won't battle in faith any longer. Huh? Set your house in order because you're going to die. Then he turned it. I love Hezekiah. Hezekiah did what I preached last week. He didn't understand what no meant. And the Bible says that even though the prophet of God told him,
you're going to die because you're sick. Now, it didn't say God was mad at him. Didn't say he'd done bad things. It just said he had a sickness that he was going to die from. Then he got the word of a prophet to confirm that to him and tell him, set your house in order because you're, look what he even said it, man. You are going to die and you are not going to live. In other words, the prophet almost said, and I don't want to talk about it because you're a dead man. You're going to die. But God's good to you because he's given you an advance warning so you can set your house in order. I love Hezekiah because Hezekiah, in his heart, Hezekiah was like you and me in some ways, man. Hezekiah said, you know what? If I die, I go to heaven. It's all good. Da, da, da. But you know what? I'm not ready to die yet. I don't want to die yet. I got work to do yet. There's things I want to do. There's people I want to reach. There's kingdoms that I want to rule yet. There's enemies I want to fight yet. I don't want to die yet. Yeah, but man, wait a minute, Hezekiah, you sure this is okay to talk like this? Huh? Because the prophet of God told you you're going to die. Your body symptoms tell you you're going to die. But I love Hezekiah. Look what it says. Then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. You know what he did? He turned his face from staring down his death sentence. Instead of thinking about his death sentence, he turned his face to the wall to talk to God and others. He had to stop looking at it. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. You mean, yeah, but we already know he was sick and we already know the prophet said that you're going to die and you shall not live. But you know what? You know, God himself, I'll show you, man. God wants you to talk to him so he can hear you. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. He said, I beseech you, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before you in truth with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I'll tell you one, if there is one thing for sure other than telling God your request so God that hears can hear you, it's, man, I wish we'd pray with some fervent prayer, like James said, with some passionate prayer. God wants your heart to be in it. And Hezekiah, you know what he was saying? Lord, I don't want to catch, man, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Remember what I've done. Remember how I've lived, God. And he wept sore. Watch this now. Here's how fast God hears. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone into the middle of the courtyard, that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again. Huh? Turn again. Turn around. You were going somewhere and I needed you to go give Hezekiah his death report. You turned into the king's chamber there and you gave him my word. It's like somebody, Isaiah, come in here, give me a word, turn around, go out there before he's out into the middle of the parking lot. The word of the Lord came unto him and said, turn again. You turned once and went in and gave him a death sentence. Now something, you know, Isaiah didn't know it, but something's happened. Something's happened after the death sentence. After the word that I gave him, something happened. You know what happened? The man of God cried to the Lord. God heard him. He said, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen thy tears, my translation. I have seen the passion that you want to live with. behold, I will heal thee. And on the third day, you will go up unto the house of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. And I will add to thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee of this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend the city for my own name's sake and for my servant David's sake. Wait a minute. All he said was, God, I don't want to die. When you pray and God hears you, God will give you more than you prayed for. Not only did he say, no, now you're not going to die. He said, besides that, I'm going to deliver this city and I'm going to take care of you as my king. I want to tell this church something today, that if you'll cry unto the Lord, if we'll cry out to God with earnest passion, sincere zeal, and cry to the Lord, the God that hears and answers prayer, I'm telling you, he'll even change a death sentence against you. When the man, one of the greatest prophets of God that ever lived, gave the death sentence to Hezekiah, before that prophet got in his cart out in the parking lot, God said, hold it, hold it, Isaiah, something's happened. Isaiah said, what happened? The man of God cried to me and asked me for life. It was such a sincere, earnest, fervent prayer. I want you to turn around again and change the word you gave him and tell him, not only are you going to live, brother, I'm adding 15 years to your life, and I'm going to deliver you from this city. Man, I feel the power of God. I'm telling you today, God is hearing our prayers, and God is going to add to our life. Stop talking. You know what the doctors say? Thank God for the doctors. Thank God for reports and the truth and reality. We're not afraid of reality. We just know this, that against every reality, we've got a God that hears us when we pray. And even though it's already been settled, this is what's going to happen to you. If you'll cry to the Lord, you'll change the situation. And God will say to the man of God, go back in there. Tell that person. Tell that family. No, you're not going to lose your house. You're going to get it back again. Go tell that person, I'm going to add 15 years to their life. Whew. How's this all happen? Simeon, God hears us when we pray. Let's all jump up for Jesus today. Come on, put your hands toward heaven. If you're here today and you need somebody, you need something, you need God to help you. Something happened in your life. I don't know about you. I read this. I've been meditating on this for 2 weeks. I'm telling you, I'm watching God change some things in my ministry and in my life. I'm watching God go to work. Now that when I hear reports and I hear how things are, I never go, okay, it's not okay. I'm not ready to die. I came to live. I'm not ready to lay down. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to cash it in. Lord, I want to live. Lord, I want to preach longer. Lord, I want my family okay. Lord, I need more money. Lord, we want to go to the mission field. Lord, we need A, B, C, D, and E. I know it seems like this, but God, I thank you that you're going to give me what I pray for. I wish somebody that was needing even a situation that it seems to be already settled, you need that to turn around. I wish you'd throw somebody out of the way and get up to the front right here, right now. If that's you today. If that's you this morning. Come on. Kalabasa talabasa taya. I'm changing my life, man.
I'm not taking what's been offered to me. I'm not taking it. I'm not giving in. I'm not letting go. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. Grab this. Don't stand there and stare at me. Grab this thing. Live. Live. Live.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crabb and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.